This is the Potter's Touch.
Today, I want to take a moment and admonish those of you who have been enjoying overwhelming blessing, favor, and peace. The message is, don't let the good times fool you. Are you focused on living a life that pleases the Lord? Do you live each day with eternity in mind? Or are you so busy enjoying everything you got going on around you that you've walked away from your focus on eternity? So many people get caught up in the good times and they lose their spiritual sensibilities. One of the greatest challenges of your life is not to trust God when things are going down, but to hold on to Him when they're gusting upward. People understand how much it costs you to survive bad times. They understand that. They understand how tenacious you have to be to endure suffering and affliction. They understand that. They understand how tough you have to be in your spirit and in your soul and how much it takes out of you to survive diseases and afflictions and turmoil and chaos. But what they don't understand is that even when you are expecting something good to happen, it costs you something. That hope costs you something. That expectation costs you something. It takes something for you to stand in a position of readiness, expecting good things to happen that don't. The Bible said that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Anytime hope is delayed, it'll make you sick. And I thought that by now I would have been married. I had planned a wedding for my 20s and now I'm 42. The numbers have reversed and I'm still by myself. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. I thought I would have my degree, but every time I get ready to go back after my degree, something sets me back. And when you keep wanting something that keeps evading you, if you're not careful, it will wear you down. Will wear you down. Is to wait for something, anticipating it, and it doesn't happen, costs you more than somebody who wants nothing. That's why we have so many people who fall into the abyss of wanting absolutely nothing, because sometimes it is easier not to want anything than it is to want it and not get it. I'm going to talk to you in a minute. Some people just choose, well, this is the way it is. I'm just going to live like this. But I'm going to lay here in between the roaches and the rats and make the best of my situation because this is where I am. Oh, this is how it is. I'm going to prison because my father went to prison and my father's father went to prison. My grandfather went to prison. That's what I'm supposed to. Some people find it easier to just give up and lay dead and just let things happen the way they happen. They are perpetually and inevitably victims of circumstances. They've allowed themselves to be typecast into a perpetual a role of nothingness, and they lay there and they relax because you can't be disappointed when you have no expectation. But the problem with these girls is that they had an expectation. And anytime you have a hope to get up, to get right, to go forward, to move up, to move on in life, to move on in God, to move on in your life, to move on in your career, it costs you something. I want you to understand then that while they were waiting on the bridegroom to come, they were burning oil. While nothing was happening, they were burning oil. While they were expecting his arrival, they were burning oil. While they waited for hours and hours, they were burning oil. Some of you don't understand why you are so tired right now, but you don't realize you're just counting your workload from what is happening right now. But you have to remember that the oil started burning when you started hoping. It didn't just start when you started doing. It started when you started believing something is about to happen in my life. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to get out of there. And all of a sudden the oil is burning. You have to burn some oil to be able to wait. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You have to be tough to wait. You have to be tough to work all day and go to school at night. You have to be tough to take two part-time jobs and put them together and try to make can do. Oh, y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. You have to be tough to start a service in a storefront with two members and the bills are higher than you got. You have to be tough. Is there anybody in here that's gone through a tough time in your life and you were waiting on a breakthrough to occur in your life? Yeah, yeah. Tell somebody, say, I may not have it, but I want it. I may not have it, but I want it. I may not be there, but I want to. It may not be in my hand, but I'm snatching after it. I may not have apprehended, but I'm in the press. I may not climb the mountain, but I'll die with dirt in between my fingernail, because I will never lay there and accept where I came from to be where I'm going. Touch your neighbor and say, my history is not my destiny. My history is not my destiny. That's why I don't care when you say you knew me when. I don't care how many people knew me when. Until you know me now, you don't know anything at all. My history is not my destiny. Oh, brothers and sisters, do you hear me this morning? I'm talking to some folk that got a dream and got a hope and got a plan and got a passion. And though the vision tarry, you say, it's late, but I'm still waiting. I'm older, but I'm still waiting. I've had setbacks, but alas, 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 I'm still waiting. You know, when you first start out waiting, you're optimistic. Oh, be here in a minute. In a minute. No wrinkles. Gotta have everything ready. Gotta have, wait a minute, my hair, where's the mirror? Gotta have everything right. Gonna be here in a minute. Waiting. 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 I'm waiting. I'm tired, Lord Jesus. Where is it? I'm waiting on the Lord. 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 Lord gonna be here after a while. I'm waiting on the Lord, Jesus. I'm just waiting. I'm gonna wait on the Lord here. I'm gonna lay up here, you know. I'm waiting on the Lord for a minute, because if the Lord don't come, oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting tired. Does anybody know what it's like to be tired? Trying to hold your head up, but you're tired. Trying to be tough, but you're tired. And one by 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 one, they all went to sleep. Not just the foolish. I don't care how smart you are, you still get tired. I don't care how committed you are, you still get tired. I don't care how focused you are, you still get tired. Is there anybody here that can talk to me about tired? I don't mean the kind of tired you get at night. I mean the kind of tired where you wake up tired, go to work tired, eat your lunch tired, answer the phone tired, smiling tired, may I help you, grinning at people, praise the Lord, and tired, and nobody knows that you are tired. I can put up with a whole lot of stuff until I get, I'm a real nice person until I get, I can look the other way and forgive some stuff and act like it doesn't matter, but until I get, why is it that things get on your nerves so bad when you're tired? Why is it that you speak your mind so much more quickly? Maybe it's just me. Is there anybody else that stuff that I would have never said to you, if you catch me? In fact, I got a warning I give out. It goes like this: I'm tired now. All right, now I'm telling you, now I'm tired. See, that's my warning. I'm tired. I know we're not talking about how I feel. We're talking about something else, but I'm telling you, I'm tired. So that means whatever you say, you got to be careful how you phrase it, because I'm... Somebody holler, I'm tired! And while they waited, they fell asleep. They fell asleep. Never noticing the toll that it takes to wait for something good. It costs you so much to get ready for something good. That sometimes when the good thing happens, you don't have the strength to enjoy it because you went through so much hell trying to get it that by the time you get there, have you ever cooked something and you didn't even feel like eating it because it cost you so much to cook it that you served everybody else and said, no, I don't want to. It costs you something to get where you're trying to go. You can't just say Jesus three times and sprint around and you're there. It costs you something to change your life. It costs you something to survive your past. It costs. That's why I don't let jealous folk bother me. Because you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster. You don't know what I had to go through to get to where I am. Roll your eyes. I don't care if they fall out of your face. And my point is that it wasn't like the lamps were out until the cry was made. It was burning while they were waiting. It's not like you expend energy when you get there. You expend energy to get there. So their bodies are tired. Their gowns are wrinkled. Their hair is disheveled. I know it is. You know something? Let me tell you something about you women. When y'all got your hair done, that's why I just assume you just shave it. Just shave it and put on some earrings and be done. Because it's so much stuff y'all can't do when you get your hair done. My wife sleep like this. Because now they've messed up the hair. They've wrinkled the gown. They've fallen asleep. And he hasn't come yet. And the oil... Suddenly the cry is made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. This isn't bad news. This is good news. This is great news. This is what they've been waiting on. And I said, Lord, why do you want me to preach this? He said, because for many of my people, the thing you've been waiting on is about to break forth. The thing you've been praying for and working on and scratching after and holding on to is about to break forth in your life. And I am concerned that you are ready to receive the blessing that I I don't know who told y'all to sing that song this morning. I don't know how you found out that I was going to be preaching about the blessing that the Lord is about to release on your life, that this is your time and this is your season. And how did you know? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Behold. Now you put in that slot whatever you've been waiting on. Behold, the cometh. Behold, the cometh. Behold, the cometh. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying to you. I'm telling you, the thing that was afar off is now drawn nigh, that you are closer to it than you've ever been in your life. Behold the... I'm going to spread a rumor, touch everybody you can reach, say, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. In Fort Worth, tell them it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. In the balcony, tell them it's coming. In Dallas, tell them it's coming. On the internet, tell them it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's coming, and tell them in the choir, it's coming. Tell them in the pulpit, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's coming, it's coming. Don't die, don't faint, don't give up, don't quit, it's coming. Behold! Don't let good times fool you. It is possible to come into your season and not have what it takes to harvest what has been released. Look at this. Zechariah says, watch this, listen. This is a day of rebuke and of trouble. Watch this. For the children have come to birth, but the mother has no strength to deliver. It is not whether the baby is coming. That is your promise. Your baby is coming. Your baby is coming. Your baby is coming. Fort Worth, your baby is coming. Choir, your baby is coming. The question is, do you have the strength to back down and deliver? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And this is, watch this, this is when they find out who's wise and who's foolish. They were all virgins. They were all dressed. They were all hand selected. They were all hand picked. They all went to the same place. They all were waiting. They all went to sleep. You couldn't tell who was wise and who was foolish until the cry was made. The thing you've been waiting on is coming. How you react to challenges tells whether you are wise or foolish. You will know who you are by how you respond in the moment of your challenge. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And then they say, my lamp has gone out. I planned on having enough light to go, but I didn't plan on having enough light to wait. And I spent my go oil in my waiting mode. And now it's time to go. And I don't have the strength to produce what he wants. The child has come to birth, but mama can't push no more. Just when it's about to happen, that's when you find out whether you are ready or not. When it is about to be released, then you know what you got. All of a sudden, they're in a panic because five of them brought the oil. Now, understand, in the Bible days, the oil was in clay containers, so you couldn't see in it. You can't stand on the outside of a clay container and tell how much oil is in it. No more than you can stand on the outside of me and tell how much oil I have in me. Yeah, the only way you're going to find out how much oil I have is set me afire. And when you put the fire on me, then you'll find out what I got to work with. Because it might not appear on the outside what I got on the inside. But up under the heat, when the heat is applied, then you can tell what I got. When the heat hits me and I produce no light. Come on with me, church. That means I'm out of oil. They hit it. It burned for a second. Went out. Hit it again. It burned for a second. It went out. Watch this. They all trim their wicks. Because when you're about to get what you want, you got to be prepared to do some trimming. Yeah, you got to do some trimming. See, some people don't get it because they won't trim their wick. You always got to give up something to get something. If you don't cut away some stuff and change some stuff and alter some stuff, you're not going to shine at your best while you hold on to your past. You got to let go of what burned up, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching. And so what the Bible says, watch it. The Bible says they started trimming the wicks. And this is a season for somebody, you got to trim your wick. You got to cut some folk loose. Yeah. You were a part of my life then, and it was wonderful, and it was special. But this has turned to carbon now. All of it is black and gone and ashy, and I got to cut you loose so I'll be ready for what's going to happen next. Look at somebody say, snip, snip. You got to do some cutting this year. You got to do some cutting back this year. You got to trim up some stuff so you'll be ready.
This is the Potter's Touch.
Today, I want to take a moment and admonish those of you who have been enjoying overwhelming blessing, favor, and peace. The message is, don't let the good times fool you. Are you focused on living a life that pleases the Lord? Do you live each day with eternity in mind? Or are you so busy enjoying everything you got going on around you that you've walked away from your focus on eternity? So many people get caught up in the good times and they lose their spiritual sensibilities. One of the greatest challenges of your life is not to trust God when things are going down, but to hold on to Him when they're gusting upward. Because now they've messed up their hair. They've wrinkled their gown. They've fallen asleep. And He hasn't come yet. And the oil. Suddenly the cry is made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. This isn't bad news. This is good news. This is great news. This is what they've been waiting on. And I said, Lord, why do you want me to preach this? He said, because for many of my people, the thing you've been waiting on is about to break forth. The thing you've been praying for and working on and scratching after and holding on to is about to break forth in your life. And I am concerned that you are ready to receive the blessing that I don't know who told y'all to sing that song this morning. I don't know how you found out that I was going to be preaching about the blessing that the Lord is about to release on your life, that this is your time and this is your season. And how did you know? The bridegroom cometh. Behold. Now you put in that slot whatever you've been waiting on. Behold the cometh. Behold the cometh. Behold the cometh. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying to you. I'm telling you, the thing that was afar off is now drawn nigh, that you are closer to it than you've ever been in your life. Behold the I'm gonna spread a rumor, touch everybody you can reach, say, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. In Fort Worth, tell them it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. In the balcony, tell them it's coming, it's coming. In Dallas, tell them it's coming. On the internet, tell them it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Tell them in the choir, it's coming. Tell them in the pulpit, it's coming, 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 it's coming. Don't die, don't faint, don't give up, don't quit, it's coming. Behold. But don't let good times fool you. It is possible to come into your season and not have what it takes to harvest what has been released. Look at this. Zechariah says, watch this, listen. This is a day of rebuke and of trouble. Watch this. For the children have come to birth, but the mother has no strength to deliver. It is not whether the baby is coming. That is your promise. Your baby is coming. Your baby is coming. Your baby is coming. Fort Worth, your baby is coming. Choir, your baby is coming. The question is, do you have the strength to back down and deliver? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And this is, watch this, this is when they find out who's wise and who's foolish. They were all virgins. They were all dressed. They were all hand selected. They were all hand picked. They all went to the same place. They all were waiting. They all went to sleep. You couldn't tell who was wise and who was foolish until the cry was made. The thing you've been waiting on is coming. How you react to challenges tells whether you are wise or foolish. You will know who you are by how you respond in the moment of your challenge. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And then they say, my lamp has gone out. I planned on having enough light to go, but I didn't plan on having enough light to wait. And I spent my go oil in my waiting mode. And now it's time to go. And I don't have the strength to produce what he wants. The child has come to birth, but mama can't push no more. Just when it's about to happen, that's when you find out whether you are ready or not. When it is about to be released, then you know what you got. All of a sudden, they're in a panic because five of them brought the oil. Now, understand, in the Bible days, the oil was in clay containers, so you couldn't see in it. You can't stand on the outside of a clay container and tell how much oil is in it. No more than you can stand on the outside of me and tell how much oil I have in me. Yeah, the only way you're going to find out how much oil I have is set me afire. And when you put the fire on me, then you'll find out what I got to work with. of it might not appear on the outside, what I got on the inside. But up under the heat, when the heat is applied, then you can tell what I got. When the heat hits me and I produce no light, come on with me, church. That means I'm out of oil. They hit it. It burned for a second, went out. Hit it again. It burned for a second, it went out. Watch this. They all trim their wicks, because when you're about to get what you want, you got to be prepared to do some trimming. Yeah, you got to do some trimming. See, some people don't get it because they won't trim their wick. You always got to give up something to get something. If you don't cut away some stuff and change some stuff and alter some stuff, you're not going to shine at your best while you hold on to your past. You got to let go of what burned up, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching. And so what the Bible says, watch it. The Bible says they started trimming the wicks. And this is a season for somebody. You got to trim your wick. You got to cut some folk loose. Yeah. You were a part of my life then, and it was wonderful and it was special. But this has turned to carbon now. All of it is black and gone and ashy. And I got to cut you loose so I'll be ready for what's going to happen next. Look at somebody, say, snip, snip. You got to do some cutting this year. You got to do some cutting back this year. You got to trim up some stuff so you'll be ready. Yeah. Got some sin issues. Got to cut them back. God said in times past, I winked at it, but I'm not winking at it right now. You got to get right about that, because where I'm getting ready to take you this year, you got to trim your wick so you'll be lit up and ready to go. Cut it back. Cut it out. It's over. Trim your wick. For somebody, it's to repent of your sins. Trim your wick. For somebody is to get right with God. Trim your wick. For somebody is to throw that crack pipe out. Trim your wick. For somebody is to clean up your lifestyle. Trim your wick. Not because you don't have an expectation, but because you do have an expectation. That is the motivation to get yourself together, because God has promised you too many things up high for you to fall down that low. Trim your wick. But there was, all of them trimmed their wicks. All of them cleaned up their act. But there was this problem with this oil. The foolish virgins. Incidentally, the word foolish comes from the same word we get moron. The morons were morons because they did not deal in extras. We have a God who deals in excess. Watch this. I wish I had time to teach this. Let me hear him. He said, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that ye may ask or think. In other words, I'm not just a God that meets your need. I'm the God that exceeds your need. I'm the God that makes your cup run over. I'm not interested in filling your cup. I want your cup to run over, because I want you to have overflow. I won't just give you 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and feed 5,000. I'm going to give you 12 baskets full left, because I don't want you to ever be operating in the red. I want you to have excess. I am the God of excess and overflow. If I fill you with the Holy Ghost, I'll fill the room that you're sitting in. I'll fill the house. Oh, if I do it, I'm going to do it right. Somebody holler, increase. The problem with the morons, the foolish virgins, is that they were operating in enough. And not more than enough. They had enough oil if everything went right. But they had no reserve for when things go wrong. The foolish virgins carried the oil in the lantern, but the Bible does not mention them having another vessel. The wise had oil in the vessel, and they had oil in reserve. So when their lamps went out, they said, I expected this. I knew it was going to be tough right here, but I can handle it because I have not spent out yet. There's some people in this room. The devil really thinks he got you backed up in a corner. He really thinks you done run out of gas. He know you're tired and you fell asleep, and you might be sleepy, but you're not empty. You still got something down inside of you that says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Isn't it funny how backed in a corner, shoved to the wall, you find strength you didn't even know you had yourself? When your enemy comes in like a flood, all of a sudden you got power you didn't even know you had. Watch this. And all of a sudden the oil began to flow. And they said, we've got enough to get us over the hump to the next level. And the foolish virgin said, hook a sister up. Hook a sister up, girl. Hook a sister up. You know me, girl. I was helping you roll your hair last night. Hook a sister up. But God's blessings are not always transferable. Oh, this is kind of heavy. And a lot of people can't handle this. God's blessings are not always transferable. You can't. If he gets in trouble, you could carry him a little ways. But he got to walk in a minute. Because you too big to be carried very far. And the problem that's bringing some of you down is that somebody is sucking all the oil that God gave you to get you where you're trying to go. I ain't gonna bother that because y'all can't handle that. I'm not against helping people. You know that's all we do here is help. I'm not against helping people, but I'm dead set against carrying people. You got to walk for yourself. So the wise virgins told the foolish ones, girl, there's a store right down, go down two red lights, turn at the corner. When you get to the Exxon, turn left, go by the Dairy Queen and go back through the alley and knock on the door because they're in the bed right now. And if you can wake them up, they'll hook you up because I can't carry you through this season. That's somebody's word right there. That's somebody's whole word right there. Mama, you carried them 9 months. You can't carry them 50 years. At a certain point, you just have to let them go, baby, and say, if I ain't taught you enough by now, you're just going to have to hit the rock. Mama can't get, mama 60, baby. Mama can't carry you no more. Grandma can't raise a third set of kids. Trying to nurse somebody with arthritis. The devil is a lie. You got to go. I got just enough oil to make it on. Watch this. So, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody got a breakthrough. Somebody shout with that woman right there. Shout with them right there. So this is what they did. They told the foolish to go by. And the wise, they went in. You may have to trim some stuff. You may have to let some people go. But if you are wise in this moment and in this season that you just got through shouting about to be blessed, this is your season to go in. Tell somebody, say, I'm going in. I'm going in. I'm going in. I'm going in. See you. I'm going in. Talk about me if you want to, but I'm going in. Take care. I'm going in. I'm going in. Is there anybody going in this season? Is there anybody going in? Is there anybody going in? And they went in and left the foolish searching for what they could have had earlier had they believed. Watch this and I'm finished. It wasn't the wise going in that got me. It wasn't the searching of the foolish that got me, because I know what it is to go in and I know what it is to search. Can I be honest with you? Sometimes I've been wise and sometimes I've been a fool. I'm just going to tell you, I've done some foolish stuff. I went home and said, you must be a moron. How can somebody so smart turn around and do something so stupid? So I'm not criticizing the foolish, nor extolling the wise. The thing that disturbs me, Dr. Stewart, is that the Bible said that when the wise went in, the bridegroom shut the door. To this point, God has been merciful. I haven't done anything so crazy that he shut the door. Sometimes I had to turn sideways to get up in there, brother. Sometimes I had to crawl in on my knees, but I've gotten so far gone that he has shut the door. The Bible says that here comes the foolish virgins to the right door at the wrong time. They had waited too late to make a change, and the door was shut. This Sunday morning, there's a crack in the door. Whether you are in Fort Worth, in the balcony in Dallas, or watching me in Lagos, Nigeria, I came to tell you there is a crack in the door. The crack in the door the theologians call grace. Grandma called it mercy. It's just enough time that if you want to get things together, you can. There is a crack in the door. And the Lord told me to tell you, don't let the good times fool you. The door is closing. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. The door will close while there is time. Trim your wick, fill your vessels with oil. As blessed as you are, you're going to need to be filled with the oil to stand where God's going to put you. If you don't have the inner tenacity, you won't have the outer longevity. Get yourself filled up on the inside, because you have to be tough to be blessed. You have to be strong to be blessed. You have to be tenacious to be blessed. You've got to do it now because the door is closing. I sincerely hope you've enjoyed this ministry today. It's just for you. It is for you and sent from heaven to you. Whether you're going through the storm or walking in the sunshine with the Lord on our side, who can be against us? Whatever it is you're facing, it's all good. Now listen, friend, you've got to count it all joy, whether you're going through good or bad. Paul said he learned how to abase and to abound. Not every day was a good day, but thank God every day wasn't a bad one either. You can endure trouble and enter into triumph, and you can handle life successes while remaining focused on God's plan for your life. And I challenge you right now, you ought to think about, you ought to pray about joining in with the army of partners that says, God, no matter how high you take me,
I'm going to put you first in every way, spiritually and financially. And then there are many partners that said, Lord, no matter how low I go, I'm going to trust you because you're God at the bottom of the mountain and not just God at the top. Now listen, friend, you ought to be one of the many partners that support our ministry today. I'd encourage you to do so. Now stay right where you are. I'm coming back to pray with you right after this.